Hey there. Welcome back to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that makes your day a little bit brighter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie.
Carrie is an internationally best-selling children's book author.
Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not.
And as usual, we're joined by our dog, Sparty. Sparty's a guy.
We'll be giving dog tips and writing tips, and we always start off with a random thought of the day, which most often happens in bed. So with us and maybe you'll learn something.
Hopefully.
Maybe not.
Random thought time.
What are you doing? What's your random thought today, babe?
I don't have a random thought. It's random. Not pre-planned thought.
Oh my god, you're funny.
I was thinking about how, in order for things to happen, you kind of have to make them happen.
Yeah.
No, don't laugh. Like, I was thinking about, like, in order to understand what the changes that you want in your life, you have to understand the state of your being that you want to change. Like, how can you be without experiencing? And then you can't be without being in relation to other things.
That's true. That is very true.
I know that. I know you make no sense.
If you have zero relation to zero things, you technically don't exist.
Exactly.
That's right.
That we don't get to exist just as ourselves. We have to exist in context.
Otherwise, you'd just be like, well, actually, somebody can probably debate this scientifically, but truly what you said, I was going to say, or you just exist as a plant, but even if you're just like a pile of, literally a pile of poo, you're still existing in conjunction with something else, like the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Without that relationship that you have with the sidewalk, you wouldn't exist.
Here's the poo. Here's the sidewalk.
Yeah.
There's the relationship.
Take away the sidewalk. What do you have?
Floating poo?
There's no such thing.
Poo on the ground?
You can't violate the laws, rules of science to...
Poo on the roadway?
No. It's gone. Poo's gone.
Wait, if the sidewalk's gone, the poo is gone?
Yeah.
Well, like, no, because someone could just pick up the poo and break apart the sidewalk.
No.
And then they have poo.
Well, see, then you have just introduced another relationship.
That's right.
But you can't introduce relationships to disprove a two-party relationship.
I know that.
All right. Yeah.
But anyways,
so what were you saying?
So I was also thinking that, like, the reason I was thinking about this is because today at a book signing, the lady in my local hometown, the lady at the bookstore who had a cold, that isn't matter. That just doesn't matter. Anyways, but the lady who had a cold said to me,
apparently it doesn't matter. She's being identified by her fact that she had a cold.
All right, the lady with a cold said to me, we were talking about how, like, it's sort of awkward sitting at a thing and how I have social anxiety, and she was talking about how I've grown since she's known me.
How long has she known you?
Whew, I don't know, man.
Yeah?
Like at least 10 years.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Oh, wow.
And that she was like, you know, you just probably chose... I'm not saying this really well. Because it's random and it's not very well planned out. But basically...
So wait a minute, I'm going to ask you one more question.
I'm actually going to get to
this. This is very important to me. And I won't even elaborate on it. What year did you run for office? 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
And what is this? 2018. Was that 10 years? Okay. Keep going.
The poor people listening to this. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying.
Okay, but there's other people out there, man. Not just us. We're existing in the state of us being talking.
I know.
But then, if anybody else listens to this, they need to understand too, right?
Not that little part.
Jeez. Anyways. So, the lady was like, you know, when I first met you, you were like really nervous and like you hated, like you were very meek and quiet and how you're like, you know, you do really well at this. Like you just do it so well. And I was like, well, I'm still socially awkward. And she's like, yeah, but you step up to the plate and you do it and you do a good job of it, which was so nice of her. And she was like, you've really evolved. She was, and I was like, I've only evolved because I keep putting myself in these situations where I have to do things that are uncomfortable. And she was like, well, you just chose this life to evolve, Carrie. That's what you decided to do in this life. And I was like, oh, I just thought I hated myself. But anyways, that's what made me think about this. Like how in her world, she has this memory of me as kind of meek and scared. And I can't even remember that anymore. Like that feeling, like not being able to just make small talk with people walking around and being friendly. But I guess maybe I used to not be as friendly.
From what you tell me, you weren't, you had a rough, more, you weren't quite as adept at it as you are now. Huh. Even though you might experience a little bit of anxiety before you actually arrive at some function or event, once you get in, immersed in a situation, you're just spectacular.
You sound like you're lying.
I'm not lying.
You sound like you're lying.
And if it's something like that last weekend where you have to do like, you know, you're like training people, you're doing a presentation or something, you're like a regular friggin' shorter, sexier version of Tony Robbins.
It's much shorter.
And much sexier.
No, I don't know. I think people like him.
Maybe, but I'm into chicks. So anyways.
I'm gonna cackle.
Don't cackle. Don't cackle. Oh, there she goes. Must be a full moon tonight.
Oh, stop it.
Jesus. Your broom
Stop
almost hit me.
Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's like the 13th time you've done that.
On this recording?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I keep saying Jesus, but you're saying Jesus and Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus.
How about Jesus?
Jesus Crow.
Yeah, I know it's close. It's like saying sugar diabetes instead of the S swear word for fecal matter.
You're literally four letters away from being totally in my world. People must think we're freaking drug addicts.
I know. I was thinking about that. I was like, every time we are on this, we sound completely like we
smoke. Every time we make a recording, every time we're on this, now they're going to think you're talking about some substance.
That does sound like a substance.
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're just naturally weird.
Can you hold this for a minute? My hand's getting tired.
Really?
No, but it was an innuendo.
Dude.
What?
No, that's just, no. I write books for children.
Do you think children listen to this?
I really hope not. Like, no, don't.
Don't stop that yet.
I have to stop it.
I'm just getting started.
No, we're 9 minutes in and I guess stop it.
9 minutes in.
That's way too long a random thought.
I think it's great.
No, it's too long.
No, don't push that button.
Why? What are you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just trying to have a good ending. You can actually push the button. I think
it won't stop.
No, the red.
Writing tip of the paw.
Between stimuli and response, there is a space, Viktor Frankl said. And in that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Heidegger said that being is always in relation to something else. He
human life is Dasein, which is often translated into being in the world. How we experience our nows is part of what is necessary to live fully and as presently as possible. Experience is a part of the being and being. But the thing is that so many of us forget to experience our existence, our being, our space in this world. But why should we even do this? We should do it because it helps center us. It helps make us remember who we are in the moment. And if you look at the words that go with this podcast, you'll see that there's an exercise about how you can live presently in the moment and sort of center us and yourself. But God knows we need centering right now. Right now.
Yeah, we do. Maybe we should do the exercise. Okay, maybe not. Just like we have to fully feel our own existence, we have to feel our character's existence. What it's like to be them, interacting with the world we've created for them. Imagine yourself as your character. Imagine yourself as your character doing that exercise. Now, write down a paragraph as them, first person. Right now, get to it.
Press pause.
Dog tip for life. Hey there. Sparty and Gabby were both sleeping. So I went down the street and talked to the beagle, Charlie. He's usually just laying right on the side of the road because that's the end of his leash. But I asked him about this subject, and he said dogs are always, always in this world, vitally connected to it. They know that their existence is part of everything. I am here, as in I, the dog, am here in this world, pretty much oozes off of a dog's every moment. Except for ours, which are both sleeping on the couch.
But we can learn from that, right? For our own life.
Yeah, I'd like to think of that. Oh, you mean the other part? Aww. Yeah, well, I mean, you can go through life probably for your entire existence and not really exist much, if that's how you did it. A daily grind every day, 9 to 5, come home, eat some crap ass TV dinner, watch television, go to bed, get up, repeat. Some people do that. It sucks.
But it might not suck if you enjoy every element of it. You know, like if you enjoy that. TV dinner, and you
can't enjoy TV dinner every night. That's a lie.
Yeah, you could.
No. No.
I think my Nana did.
Only if that's the only thing you've ever eaten. You don't know anything else.
She knew cream celery.
Well, then she didn't like TV dinners that much. Like that spaghetti you made with the anchovies in the sauce tonight. My God.
But the point here is not my amazing spaghetti making skills, because they're not that amazing. But the point is that dogs know how to live in the moment. They exist in conjunction to the other things in their space. They're aware of who they are. And people can do that too.
People should do that as often as possible. Yeah. Go out and sniff some fire hydrants. Oh wait, pee on the fire
hydrant. No, do not. Sniff. That's illegal. Butts. That's illegal, illegal, illegal. Bye. So for the tips that go with this podcast, the actual written down intellectual tips, go to carriejonesbooks.blog. And you'll find those there under the Dogs Are Smarter Than People podcast page.
What if I accidentally put in carriejonesbooks.com?
Then you kind of have to go to the tab on the left-hand side where it says dogs are smarter than people, too. It's all connected, man.
Carrie will also be at Book Expo America in New York City on June 1st from 11:30 to 12 at the Learner booth, signing copies of the same book, The Spy Who Played Baseball. A week before that, she will be in New York City presenting to the Jewish Book Council. She would love it if you came out and hung out with her.
And I'm also going to be on WERU Radio sometime soon. I'll update that when I know that. It's in May. Talking about books. All right. And we also have a really cool tongue-in-cheek like subgroup of postings on a blog about cooking vegetarian recipes as a writer. It's silly, but
they're good. And this is not really a vegetarian household.
Well, I was.
I am kind enough to partake in this experiment. And it's been really successful taste-wise. I mean, Carrie does her own magic with each dish, but she tells you all about it in the blog, so.
And we make it
they're
funny.
Really good.
Really funny.
You make it funny, babe. All I do is eat.
You're so good at that.
Fun and tasty.
Anyways, for more information about the podcast or the books, check out carriejonesbooks.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the website. And you can find out all sorts of cool stuff there. But if you like us or you just feel badly for us, please subscribe and rate us high and share so other people can rejoice in the dorkiness that is us.
Us?
Us.
Party on, Garth.
Oh my gosh. I can't do that. Wait.
Why not?
Because I don't remember.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on.